So Google has their home speaker. It's the center of their smart home world. Apple has their single HomePod speaker coming out in December, and that's also going to become the center hub. This is Amazon stepping up to the plate here and heralding itself as a major consumer technology player. And they really stepped up their smart home game, introducing several new Echo speakers, as well as a new set-top box product for the home.
The date of the Catalan independence referendum is drawing ever closer, with the Spanish government now warning regional police will seize control of any polling stations ahead of this weekend's vote. Madrid deems the process is illegal. Catalonia's regional government, though, insists it'll go ahead and has sent out notifications to Catalans to staff the vote booths nonetheless.
We will reduce the corporate tax rate to no higher than 20%, which is substantially below the average of other industrialized nations. This is a revolutionary change, and the biggest winners will be the everyday American workers as jobs start pouring into our country, as companies start competing for American labor, and as wages start going up at levels that you haven't seen in many years.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Thursday. It's September 28th, 2017, 5:10 in the morning. Glad you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell. It's Thought Leader Thursday, and coming up in a minute, we'll bring in Don Lloyd, who's here from Associated Bank. A little bit later in the program, we're going to be talking about the next grid. This is what might be coming in energy, including Energy Infrastructures Modernization Act. All of that is front and center this week here in Illinois. We'll be talking with the Illinois Commerce Commission coming up. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Asian markets are mixed as investors try to gauge the impact from the sweeping tax reform plan unveiled by President Trump. You heard the president there in the opening montage talking about it. Markets in this country generally are negative this morning. As we look toward the opening bell later this morning, futures off about 49 on the Dow, off about 31 on the NASDAQ. The S&P futures are lower by about a fraction. Asian markets, the Nikkei up just about 96 points for a half a percent. The Hang Seng is off almost a full percent. The Shanghai is lower by just a couple of points. In Europe this morning, markets are generally higher, but not by much. The FTSE only up 2 points. The DAX up 39. And the CAC is up about 8 points. Oil is trading at $52.74 a barrel. That's up about a percent this morning. A couple of stories we're watching for you. Of course, the big story out of Washington, the tax reform proposal outlined by the president and congressional Republicans. It's the first major revamp of the nation's tax code in nearly a generation. The sweeping $6 trillion tax cut would deeply reduce levies for corporations, simplify everyone's brackets, and nearly double the standard deduction used by most Americans. The president declares the plan would provide badly needed tax relief for the middle class, but there are too many gaps in the proposal to know exactly how it would affect taxpayers. There's also major questions about how it would be paid for, how much it might add to the soaring $20 trillion national debt. One of the big sticking points undoubtedly will be the removal of the ability to deduct state and local taxes, and that's going to hit people who deduct their property taxes very hard. There's some news about Equifax this morning. The interim CEO has apologized again to consumers affected by the massive data breach. He's also wrote in a Wall Street Journal op-ed that the company will introduce a new service that will allow consumers to control access to their personal credit data, and that it will probably be free. And maybe even for lifetime, considering all of the data that has been breached here, including Social Security numbers. He says Equifax will also extend the sign-up period for its credit monitoring service. Well, there's been all kinds of geopolitical issues in the news lately, from North Korea to the U.S. to Germany. where they had an election last weekend to the UK. We thought we'd focus specifically on that this morning in our thought leader conversation. Don Lloyd is here from Associated Bank. He's the SVP and manager of capital markets, the foreign exchange, rate swaps, commodity derivatives. This is his playground. And so we thought we'd bring him in this morning to talk more about it. Don, good morning. Welcome back to the opening bell.
Steve, good morning. I bet you must be exhausted. The markets are awake. The, you know, between the hurricanes coming through the Caribbean, elections over in Germany, elections in New Zealand, you've got politicians fighting with sports athletes and whatnot. Kids are back in school. Everybody's working again, and the markets are in full swing again.
Yeah, and boy, do the markets love this talk about tax reform.
Yep.
That's the big topic, I guess, du jour, right?
Driving everything. And, you know me, pro-America, equity markets are making new highs, will continue to make new highs.
It's very exciting.
Yep, it is.
Oh, well, I don't want to be the downer then for this, but I want to get your opinion on something. First of all, the World Economic Forum issued a report this week on global competitiveness, and it was sort of a very scary sort of report. They said that global economies are at risk of further shock because they're ill-prepared for the next wave of automation and robotization.
Yep.
Scary stuff.
Fourth industrial revolution coming at us. You know, here we are in a whole new generation, you know, a whole new landscape that's coming at it, and it's all automation. The robotization or robotizing or the automation of creation. The world economy gets smaller. You know, we're a global market, and it's still like a rubber band. And you've got those countries that are inventing and continuing to streamline and make more efficient their production capabilities and becoming more productive. And you've got those countries that are lagging so far behind. And that rubber band continues to get stretched farther and farther and farther. And we're getting ready to change gears again. And it's going to make that rubber band even stretched thinner. And at some point in time, something's got to snap. And something's got to either catch up drastically or something's got to be pulled back drastically. It's exciting on one hand to be part of it, but it's sort of frightening on the other hand to say, how far can this rubber band stretch between the countries that are creating, becoming more productive, and the ones that are lagging so far behind that they might not ever be able to catch up?
So when you look at global markets, and as you do every day, and you see a report come out like this, and thankfully the United States is at the top of this competitiveness index right after Switzerland, so we're in good shape, it appears. But how does this rattle the markets at all?
Long-term issue, long-term solutions. Unfortunately, traders within the market operate over the next 5 minutes. They're thinking. Investors are much more strategic, much more long-term. Traders are much more short-term. Mm-hmm. Can't remember 3 days ago. Don't really care about 3 days from now. What I care about is sort of the present. So we sort of live in the present. I see this. By the time all of this really starts to gain traction and starts to impact the market in any significant way, you know, on one hand, I think, well, I'll either be retired, I'll be 6 feet under the ground. On the other hand, what I've noticed in 37 years of doing this is that things are happening much faster than they were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. So markets react quicker. Money is able to be moved much faster into much larger quantities than they were 10 years ago or 15 years ago. So to your point, yeah, this can become very scary very fast as this global pool of money looks for some type of return versus some type of risk. And if the emerging markets are back here and, you know what, there's just no way they're going to automate or become more productive, then that's going to sit there and change that risk profile. It's going to change the allocation of assets into there, and the money's going to flow into someplace else. So that can happen very quickly.
A lot of people are thinking like you, though, it sort of makes the World Economic Foundation, they're saying ill-prepared, doesn't necessarily give me a lot of hope that people are going to start preparing.
I'm a big advocate of free markets, mm-hmm. and letting the free markets find their way, and just pure economics, identifying those deficiencies and ways to improve, and then letting the market innovate and come up with ways to do it. If there is a dollar to be made in helping out these countries that are at the other end of the rubber band, so to speak, help to catch up. If there's revenue to be made, money to be made, then believe me, that type of capital will flow into it to help them along. I trust in that whole process. I believe in that process. And I think that over the long term, that's what will occur.
You mentioned at the top the different things happening around the world, the election in Germany, some of the other economic reports from Europe and elsewhere. What are you seeing there that you like and what is concerning?
Well, first of all, I like it because it's creating volatility and movement of money again. So, you know, that's what keeps me happy. It keeps me employed. It keeps me in front of my customers at Associated Bank, giving them something to say to help them mitigate and reduce their risk. I'm sort of the eyes and ears to the markets so that they can identify their exposure and we can provide solutions for that. So I sort of like it. You know, I don't really look at things. Am I concerned about it or am I happy about it? It's just that there's finally something that's involving the market that can push the markets one way or the other that I can engage a customer in and become something of value to the customer and say, hey, here's what's going on. And the big thing, what I see is there is a pulse that's going on around the world when it comes to economic expansion. I'm encouraged by that. It's not as robust as it was, say, you know, 10, 15 years ago, but there's one there. And we are climbing out of this hole that we have been in over the last 10 years, and I'm very encouraged by that globally.
In Germany, the German Chancellor Angela Merkel wins a fourth term. Yep. Investors, at least in that country, I think too probably here, were happy. That means a steady continuation of her leadership. The markets did react a little negative there at the beginning. They seemed to have recovered. What is the step when you have a leader like that be reelected? And the steadiness, how does that impact sentiment?
It's like track runners in a race running over hurdles. This was just another hurdle to get over. The market cleared it. The election came out. As you said, Merkel's fourth term in there as chancellor. Consistency. There's a story, you know exactly what you're getting. She's going to have to sit there and make some alliances with some other parties within Germany because she's lost a little bit of her base in it. But she will. You know, the whole art of compromise will come to the forefront again, and Germany will find its way and continue to move forward. But again, you've cleared that unknown. You've cleared that hurdle. No big shocks. Nothing big. The market sort of, okay, we got through that. Let's digest it. Now on to the next thing, the next hurdle that comes up.
What are you seeing with the currency markets? How's the euro doing, the pound, the dollar versus all of those?
Yeah, driven very much by interest rate differentials. What are U.S. interest rates going to do if you're looking at currency markets in terms of U.S. dollar? What are U.S. interest rates going to do compared to other countries' interest rates? And that's the dance that goes on. And that dance, especially with Janet Yellen having spoken this past week about what the Fed's going to be doing for the rest of this year and into next year. Already the market's priced in 70% probability of an increase for a December rate hike. But as you look into 2018 and what are interest rates going to do, the exchange markets are fun because you have to compare that to something else. You have to compare that to the UK. You have to compare that to Canada. You have to compare that to the European community. So each one of those has its own story and it has its own scenarios that can unfold. So it's sort of like three-dimensional chess that you play. You just can't look at things in terms of what are U.S. interest rates doing. It's what are U.S. interest rates doing compared to other countries. So you have to look at everything individually. That's what's dancing the whole market and it continues to move. Everything else will flare up and will impact the market in shorter term. But at the end of the day, it's all those interest rate differentials and what is expected to happen. Three things move the market. Fundamentals, economic fundamentals move the market. Political events or geopolitical events move the market. And then the third thing that moves it are the expectations around those things. And the market focuses a lot on the expectations around those things. What do you expect interest rate differentials to do? What do you expect inflation to do in countries? There's no question that the world would like to see inflation push up a little bit, maybe not Brazil, but some countries would like inflation to push up a little bit. So that's the center of what's going on in the foreign exchange markets. And for that matter, it's the center, to me, of what's going on in the U.S. equity markets, or if you're looking at the CAC or the Nikkei or anything else. Mm-hmm. It's all about interest rates right now.
I've been excited to have you come in to talk because since you've been here, we've had a couple of developments with Bitcoin. China is saying no. Even Jamie Dimon of Chase said he thinks it's a fraud. What do you think of these developments? I mean, I know you've kind of not been a big fan of Bitcoin, have you?
Well, first, my general disclaimer, okay? the rest from here is my opinion. Right, it's not the opinion of Associated Bank or the position of Associated Bank. Bitcoin, my gosh. You know, it's one of those great things that you can stand at a bar and talk about Bitcoin for hours while you're having a beer. Mm-hmm. I don't see or hear a lot of people standing at a bar talking about monetary policy or how dollars are created in the United States, you know, how the Fed creates and expands the money supply and how it retracts it. But you do hear a lot about Bitcoin. And it's always a red flag to me when, you know, my nephew who graduated college last year and has been living in his mom and dad's basement for a while comes up to me and starts talking about Bitcoin, you know, both as an investment and how it's going to replace the U.S. dollar. And I just sort of look at him and I say, really, you know, have a beer, but, you know, let's understand the current process first before we start dismantling the current process of what we have in place and start talking about a replacement or a Bitcoin. Bitcoin. You know, here's my, you know, and a lot of people probably won't like this, but Steve, it's like you and me going to your basement. Mm-hmm. Now, it's your basement, right. Not mine, mm-hmm. but we're going to go to your basement mm-hmm. and we're going to say, let's create a currency. Yeah. And it's like, okay, well, great, we can do that, but people are going to have to want this thing and use this thing. It's going to have to be a store of value. It's going to have to be a medium of exchange. But how can we get people to like this thing? I don't know. You know, let's give it some credibility first. So let's put this thing into an algorithm, an equation, and we're not going to share that with anybody. And all we're going to say is don't worry about that complicated equation that creates these Bitcoins. And you can't really do it because you're going to need a lot of computers, which you really don't have. We have them. And you know what? Give us your dollars, your real U.S. dollars, and we're going to give you this electronic stuff and this electronic purse, and you're going to sit there and have this currency and go at it. Go for it. Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, what backs all that up? All I know is you and I have something real. We've got their $20 bill sitting in our pocket. And what do they have from us? Something electronic, which has value maybe. Well, you know, it's changed on an exchange at some value. And maybe, you know, some company out there will take it until they don't take it anymore. And that's the problem that I have with Bitcoin. You know, or yeah. with any of the cryptocurrencies.
Yeah, and I think that's sort of what Jamie Dimon was saying too. That he says I think it feels like a fraud. I think is what his words were.
At the end of the day, you know, you look at a $20. It's an incredible exercise that everybody should go to, where you look at your $20 bill and say, well, really, what is this? What backs this thing up? It's fiat currency. It's not backed by gold or silver or anything. Mm-hmm. It's backed by what? It's backed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. Okay, what that means is, we all see value in that $20 bill because the government's sitting there saying, that's our legal tender. It is our legal issued tender that we recognize. And you know what? You can pay taxes with it. You can use it as a medium of exchange, whatever. If you want to trade goats and lumber for somebody cutting your grass or milk, go do it. We're not stopping you, but we recognize this $20 bill is legal tender. They're not saying that with cryptocurrencies,
yeah.
You know? And if you look at countries around the world, everyone's sort of struggling with this. Some are saying, absolutely no, it's illegal. Some are saying, yes, it's legal. Some are saying, well, it's a private type currency. You can settle anything you want with it, but we don't want it for you to pay your VAT or your taxes or anything. So it's early in the game when it comes to cryptocurrency.
And proceed with caution, probably.
Proceed with caution. But again, that's an old guy like me who is cautious to begin with.
I think we should call our currency Lloyd Sterling. What do you think?
I was thinking Steve Don.
anything that we can do to make a buck, I think, would be pretty cool.
Good.
Don, good to see you. We'll see you again next time.
Thanks, Steve.
Don Lloyd from Associated Bank. He's the SVP and Manager of Capital Markets. foreign exchange, rate swaps, commodity derivatives. We're going to continue our conversation with Don after the bell this morning, and we'll post that with the podcast of the opening bell later at WGNradio.com. You can also find more of the Thought Leader Conversations at AssociatedBank.com/thoughtleadership and follow Associated Bank on Twitter at Associated Biz.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the opening bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It's our Thursday edition of the show, and the Illinois Commerce Commission and two of the state's biggest utilities, along with academics and others, are hosting a free launch event today for NextGrid, the Illinois Utility of the Future Study. The event's going to be at the UIC, University of Illinois Forum, here in Chicago, a little bit later on this morning. We're happy this morning to have Vicki Crawford with the Illinois Commerce Commission with us on the opening bell. Vicki, good morning.
Well, good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. Very good.
It's going to be a big day for you folks at the ICC. Tell us what the study is. What is NextGrid?
This is going to be a very big day for the ICC. NextGrid is a customer-focused study that's managed by the Illinois Commerce Commission to explore what the utility of the future could look like in Illinois. This study was requested by Governor Bruce Rauner's transition team back in 2015. Steve, innovations in technology, the demand to be more energy efficient, to use more renewable resources like wind and solar, are driving states like Illinois to reevaluate and to modernize their electric grid. Illinois is not alone in this, but we do expect that the NextGrid study and the process that we're going to embark upon is going to serve as a national model for other states to follow. As you know, electricity, it's a necessity. It's never been more important in our history. We're all relying on electricity to power everything from, you know, turning on the lights to turning on the radio in the morning to hear Steve Grzanich to charging our cell phones and our tablets and our computers and, you know, our equipment at work and appliances at home and even vehicles now. You know, as the smart technology continues to evolve, and, you know, we're seeing it all the time in the news, we're hearing about changes in technology, you know, it's becoming more and more integrated into our homes and our workplaces and everyday lives. You know, just to keep pace, Illinois' electric utilities are expected to undergo more changes in the next decade than has been experienced over the past 100 years.
So
that's a lot.
Yeah, I was just going to interrupt there and say, you know, what's the challenge here? I mean, because there's so many, I mean, this goes beyond just electricity now, because you mentioned the renewables like solar and wind. Somehow those have to be integrated into that grid. I would imagine this is a big challenge.
It is, and we're going to, today, you know, like I said, this is a launch event, and you're going to have all the stakeholders at the table. And they're going to start discussing this, and they're going to be part of this is going to be identifying the challenges and the obstacles. But, you know, you're bringing people. We're going to have experts in from across the country. And in fact, there'll be experts from international experts weighing in and helping us to develop a blueprint that will help guide us into the future and how to develop, you know, how to handle all these changes. You know, some of the things that we could possibly see, Steve, is, you know, right now, electricity distribution is a one-way street. You know, an electric company, we pay them and they send us electricity. Imagine a time when a residential customer or a business consumer decides that they want to use solar panels to power their home or their business. Well, some can do that now, but the potential is there, the technology is there, that at some point those consumers could also, in addition to powering their home, they could store the excess power for later use, or they could redirect that power back into the main grid. So suddenly we've got a two-way street going. Hospitals right now, as you know, if there's an emergency or crisis, they use generators to power their facilities. In the not too distant future, it may be possible for hospitals, schools, businesses, local governments to invest in something called a microgrid that utilizes a variety of renewable energy sources like wind, solar, and battery to generate power at their facilities in the case of an outage or a crisis. It's also possible that entire communities could invest, potentially rely upon these microgrids that would generate enough power to protect their residents and their businesses from outages. You know, should there be a natural disaster? I mean, we're seeing all these hurricanes down in Florida and Texas and Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. You know, not that we have hurricanes here, but, you know, we do have natural disasters. Or should there be a cyber attack, communities would be able to separate from the main grid and continue to operate in such cases. So there's a lot of scenarios and possible, you know, the technology that exist or is on the verge of existing is very exciting. And, you know, this is all about getting prepared for the future. And both the ICC and the state's public utilities recognize that we need to be prepared to handle these increases and to, you know, to meet the demand for reliable, resilient, affordable, and clean energy.
Now, the event today is at the UIC Forum at 725 West Roosevelt. Vicki, you're going to have, there's going to be all kinds of people there speaking. After the event is held today and all this information starts to be gathered, what's the timeline going to look like for coming up with a plan?
Well, the ICC is expecting that they'll have the study completed in about 18 months. Some of the process is going to be developed today. I mean, we're going to learn more today and in the months following. October, we're hoping to formalize further the working groups. They have identified seven working groups that will start to meet regularly. They haven't quite finalized who will be serving on those, but the intent is for these working groups to meet regularly for, you know, several months sequentially. And this, we have a team of lead facilitator is a team of professionals or professors from the Electrical and Energy Engineering Department at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. And they're going to be working with the working groups. And then as these working groups complete their work, these team of professionals or professors from the U of I will compile the information gathered and will be presenting like quarterly reports and a midterm reports to the ICC with the ultimate goal of having the final report done in about 18 months.
Very exciting times. There's certainly lots of information that's going to be shared today again at the University of Illinois Forum here in Chicago from 8:30 until 3:30. Vicki, it's always good talking with you, and best of luck over at the Illinois Commerce Commission.
Thank you. And if anybody is looking, there is still a few spaces available. Seats have, you know, if they want to come by, they're more than welcome to. They can register on site. And also, if they, you know, you can't come, but you want to learn more, we do have a website. It's www.nextgrid.illinois.gov.
All right.
So I appreciate you having us on.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Vicki. Vicki Crawford at the Illinois Commerce Commission in Chicago. And also you can go to the ICC for more information on all kinds of stuff, including this. Their website is icc.illinois.gov.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, futures pointing toward a weak open on Wall Street. The numbers with the NASDAQ and S&P generally flat. The Dow futures are off 12. Let's get you updated on commodities and agriculture. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. As we head toward the weekend in grain trade at the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, wheat futures set a one-month high on technical buying and worries about dry conditions in the Midwest that did help that market rally after a weak start. Corn and soybeans also moving higher, shaking off early pressure tied to the expanding harvest of both crops in the Midwest. December wheat settled up 7¾ cents, 461.5 a bushel. November soybeans ended up 2 cents at 965.5 a bushel. And December corn finished up 1¾ at $3.54 a bushel. Livestock showed a little life yesterday. at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, live cattle futures reversed some of their recent losses, strength coming from technical buying and investors who covered previously held short positions in the cattle market. December cattle closed up $1.42 a hundredweight. And the hog trade yesterday also saw the again trade where traders simultaneously sold October futures on position squaring in advance of the quarterly pig crop report that's due out later today. And so at the end of the session, the October or the December lean hog contract up $1.55, December live cattle up $1.45, and October feeder cattle up $1.95. Now, today we get the quarterly pig crop report, and here are the estimates on what traders are expecting. They're expecting all hogs on September 1 to be up 2.5%, the number kept for breeding up 1.25%, and the number kept for market, they expect to come in up 2.5%. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You have a great day as well. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Thursday, September 28th. In today's business and economic events, the Labor Department will release weekly jobless claims. The Commerce Department will report on second quarter gross domestic product. And Freddie Mac, the mortgage company, will release mortgage rates for today, weekly mortgage rates. Some of the things that could move the markets on this Thursday, September 28th.